A reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they promised a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions how they turned away from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little further and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called to them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome everyone to Holy Family Parish on this third Sunday of Ordinary Time. We hope next Sunday be a little warmer, but we thank you all for being here. On this third Sunday every year, our gospel readings tell us of the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Last year, the reading was from Matthew. Next year, it's from Luke. And this year, of course, it's from Mark. These readings are remarkable in that they record Jesus' first publicly spoken words. Now, as any good storyteller or newspaper reporter knows, first words are important. So let's carefully consider the first two verses just proclaimed. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee. John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way of the Lord, who preached and baptized for repentance of sins. It was John who leapt in his mother's womb when Jesus came near. It was John who deemed himself unworthy to untie the thong on Jesus' sandal, and who, as Father was preaching last week, called Jesus the Lamb of God. John was diminishing as Jesus was increasing. These words announce the end of John's ministry and the beginning of Jesus's. Jesus came proclaiming the gospel of God. What does the evangelist mean when he writes that Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of God? When we hear the word gospels, we understand it to refer to the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Jesus could not have been referring to these books. They were not written until somewhere between 40 and 70 years after Jesus' death. Christ would have been referring to the Old Testament scriptures. He would have been explaining those scriptures to the people of his day. The Jews of his day knew that the Old Testament books were God's love letter to Israel. They spoke of the covenants God made with the patriarchs, of the law given at Mount Sinai, of the protective acts that God performed during the Exodus, and of the prophecies which told of a Savior, Messiah. They all told part of God's plan to save humanity from the consequences of our parents' first sins. Now we hear Jesus' first words, "This is the time of fulfillment." With Jesus' coming, God the Father's plan to save humanity is fully revealed. The Apostle Paul explains this eloquently in Ephesians 1. God has made known to us the mystery of his will as a plan for the fullness of time, to sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. In Christ's incarnation, in his teaching, healing, passion, death, resurrection, and ascension, God's plan is fully revealed. This is what the gospel and epistle writers mean when they speak of the fullness of time. Well, Christ goes on, "The kingdom of God is at hand." In the Our Father, we pray every week to our Father, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." A kingdom, of course, is where a king reigns. His rules are the rules of the land. The Father's will is done perfectly in heaven. But on the other hand, earth is contested territory. It's only with the coming of Christ has God's kingdom come fully to earth. On earth, only Christ in his humanity does the will of the Father perfectly. In the incarnate Christ, the kingdom of God is truly present on earth. And finally, Christ's last words, "Repent and believe in the gospel." These are Jesus' first commands to the people of his day. They were very important, and they remain important to us today. Repent. John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus by calling people to repentance. Jonah, in our first reading, very reluctantly goes to the hated city of Nineveh to tell the people to repent. He gives what has to be the shortest homily, very unenthusiastically, telling them to repent. To his surprise and disappointment, they do, and God forgives them. If we don't repent, we will never believe in the gospel. So this repentance is an important first step. Why? Because the good news of God is that he loves us and he wants to save us. He can't save us if we refuse to believe we need saving. If we don't believe that we need to ask for forgiveness, amend our actions, curb our speech, we believe that we don't need saving. God cannot reach us because we've shut the door. The words of the beloved disciple John make this clear from his first letter, the first chapter. "If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us." Well, Jesus is not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's our Lord. So repentance is the first step, but believing in the gospel, the word of God, is the second. In 2019, Pope Francis released an apostolic letter Apparuit Illis, designating this third Sunday in ordinary time as the Word of God Sunday. It's a Sunday he wishes us to honor every year in this way. In his introduction to the letter, the Pope instructed that this day every year be devoted to the celebration, study, and dissemination of the Word of God, the Bible. This designation is not a coincidence on this Sunday, considering that the scriptures the church has chosen. Jesus himself, at the very beginning of ministry, in the words we've just heard, emphasized the necessity of believing and loving the scriptures. Also in his introduction, Francis makes clear the necessity of knowing scriptures, both old and new. He writes, "Without the scriptures, the events of the mission of Jesus and his church in this world would remain incomprehensible." You cannot love Christ if you don't know him, Francis teaches us. He then quotes St. Jerome, the great 4th century biblical scholar, "Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ." In the rest of his letter, Francis reiterates what Catholicism has taught about Scripture for 2,000 years. I cannot begin to cover it all, but I'll mention just a few points. First, every word of the Bible, if faithfully transmitted and properly translated, is divinely inspired. It is truly the Word of God. God is reaching out to us. He's making himself known in terms that we can understand. God is incarnate in his word. He's embodied in his word. Second, and Francis quotes Paul's second letter to Timothy, "All scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." In every biblical passage, there's a moral lesson to be learned, something that helps us live a life that's pleasing to God. Third, sacred scripture is bittersweet to those who listen to it and believe in it. Quoting the Pope, "The sweetness of God's word leads us to share it with all those whom we encounter in this life and to proclaim the sure hope that it contains. Its bitterness, in turn, comes from our realization of how difficult it is to live that word consistently, or our personal experience of seeing it rejected as meaningless for life. We should never take God's word for granted." End quote. Finally, at the letter's end, Francis quotes St. Augustine, who is commenting on words from the Gospel of John. He starts by repeating these words from John. "Someone in the midst of the crowd, seized with enthusiasm, cried out, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you.' And Jesus replied, 'Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Augustine explains, "It's as if to say, 'My mother, whom you call blessed, is indeed blessed because she keeps the word of God. Not because in her the word became flesh or dwelt among us, but because she keeps that same word of God by which she was made and which in her womb became flesh.'" I'll repeat that because Augustine's sometimes a little hard to understand. "My mother, whom you called blessed, is indeed blessed because she keeps the word of God. Not because in her the word became flesh and dwelt among us, but because she keeps that same word of God by which she was made and which in her womb became flesh." We are blessed when we keep the word of God. The church cannot bless us if we sin. I'll end with a continuation of words from the first letter of John. The way we may be sure that we know Jesus is to keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. Repent and believe in the gospel.